I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All the things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when this thing shall be. Just be ready, be ye watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we know are heading every day. Let's get ready for his coming, let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All the things we know are heading every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
Just suppose that God had searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to provide eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the over of the cross, had it not been for man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands, all the nails that torment me. Had it not been for
Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
Then forever my soul would be lost.
There was no crown for him of silver nor of gold.
There was no diamond for him to hold,
but blood adored his brow and proud its stains he bore, and sinners gave to him the crown he wore.
A rugged cross became his throne, his kingdom was in hearts alone.
He wrought his love in crimson red,
and he wore the thorns upon his head.
He did not reign upon the throne of ivory, but died upon the cross of Calvary. For sinners there he counted all the old but lost,
and he surveyed
his kingdom from a cross.
A rugged cross became his throne,
his kingdom was in hearts alone.
He wrote his love in crimson red,
and he wore the thorns upon his head.
No purple robe he wore his bleeding wounds to hide,
but stripes upon his back he wore with pride. And from the wounds there flowed a crimson cleansing stream that was a cover for the soul unclean.
A rugged cross became his throne,
his kingdom was in hearts alone.
He wrote his love in crimson red,
and he wore the thorns upon his head.
No purple robe he wore his bleeding wounds to hide,
but stripes upon his back he wore with pride.
And from the wounds there flowed a crimson cleansing stream that was a cover for the soul unclean. A rugged cross became his throne,
his kingdom was in hearts alone.
He wrote his love in crimson red,
and he wore the thorns upon his head.
A rugged cross became his throne,
his kingdom was in hearts alone.
He wrote his love in crimson red,
and he wore the thorns upon his head.
Where he is, I'm crying, singing loud and oblique, but hard to desert big stone.
Drum blick, no wind, and the father gishik,
the eyes of fear, the heart for wound.
begestern. O hat nicht dein Jesus getragen die Schuld, gebieset am Kreuz auch für dich. O floss nicht sein Blut voller Barmen der Hut, du Erlösung für dich und für mich. Jesus am Kreuz, den Glauben erblickt, wer hat zu der selbige Stund. Dein Weinen und deine Gebet ist es nicht, wodurch du mich gottlos versehnt. Das Blut deines Heilands befreit vom Gericht, er ist der mich gnädig trägt. Sieh, Sünde, sieh, der Jesus am Kreuz im Glauben erblickt, wer hat zu derselbigen Stund. Zweifle nicht länger und glaub es gewiss, du hast ja sonst nicht mehr zu tun. Dein Heiland betrat auch für dich in den Riss, in ihm kannst du seliglich ruhen. Sieh, sieh, Sünder, sieh, wer Jesus am Kreuz im Glauben erblickt, wer heilst du derselbigen Stund?
That's where it all begins, at the Calvary. For a lot of people, it's just a historical episode. But to us, it's a daily walk. It starts at Calvary. You got to repent of your sin.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do what you got to do. What Jesus did at Calvary. We've accepted that whole counsel of God. That's just the beginning point, and then it moves on, and it moves on to the next chapter, and then the next, and the next. And then it moves on. What Jesus said: "Is it life eternal?" Well, I want eternal life, but everybody wants eternal life. But that just Calvary is the beginning point.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to start at the beginning. You can't start at what the Muslims have, what the unrights have. You can't start with religion. You've got to start exactly where at Calvary,
mm-hmm.
where he shed his blood for us. Now he expects us to just continue on with the journey. That's not good enough. Like the gospel haulers down here, they stick with salvation. That's where they stick it. God so loved the world. But Paul talks about, come on, let's go on from the dead words of repentance. That's just the beginning point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on.
Uh-huh. And that's how an organization's form is, when people don't move on.
That automatically evolves into a cult.
Mm-hmm. That evolves into that Nicolaitan spirit, where you have people controlling people.
So here you get the truth, you get the program here. We're not just beating our gums together. We've been hauled out to just continue with the program.
Mm-hmm.
And this truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I were marching on with the truth. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop with Jesus. It didn't stop at Calvary. And the next chapter was, you know, like I keep saying it. And you got to keep repeating it because you're dealing with a society and a world that's completely brainwashed from this religiology mm-hmm. out there. Religion has, Satan has succeeded in, with his religion out there to kind of brainwash the people and thinking they're okay when they're not. They've been going it over and over again, and then, see, because you and I have made ourselves available to the Lord, you know, we just started back at Calvary back in 1971 when the Lord saved me. That's when I began my journey. But man, 11, I was along the journey. You get tripped up and you've been told that that other thing is it. And you just keep journeying on and you journey on. And then the man comes to our house that had an out of the body experience. And he gives you a little bit to let you know that other chapter is not it. And then you go on from there. And he left me searching. He said, there's something out there. And it put me on the search because the truth is marching on. I know I didn't have it. Yeah, I was born again, but that's still search. When you're born again, you're still searching. And I was still searching. I knew I hadn't found it. And then I kept on searching. I've told you over and over again. I just kept on going. And I kept in the middle of your brother Brennan. And then I came to the man of Brother Jackson, just marching on, nothing strange. We're just living the gospel. That's mm-hmm. all we, you and I, are doing. And then along somewhere along the road of life, the Lord gave us each other. Not for sex and all that garbage that you're trying to accuse us of. He gave us each other to continue on with the journey because I'd come to a full stop. I couldn't go on anymore. And the Lord came on the scene, told me to pick you up. Because without you, the program stops. What you've done up till now doesn't mean to nothing. You need to have Lorraine along to continue on with the program. And here everybody's thinking and judging us and accusing us of doing this, that, and the other. And then, you know the story. I've been over and over again. But see, we're moving on. We're marching on with the truth. That's all we have. Even it's closing, we have a truth for a lost and dying world. And the things that we say are one 100% accurate, and they're legit, and they're just according to the scripture. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about that standing in the gap. You know, the things we say, they're so off the mainstream media and from the public square, so to speak. But see, you and I, we're in touch with reality. We're in touch with the truth. For today, this that God sent Brother Branham. Anything outside of that and the church, the Laodicea, will take you out to hell, and that is just that simple. And then on this journey, we found each other, and the Lord brought us together, and now we're continuing on with the journey. And now today, I want to talk about standing in the gap. You know, I want to read that over in Ezekiel. I think we read it yesterday. It said, something to the effect, if I would have found somebody to stand in the gap for that city, I would not allow that city to be destroyed. If you and I, if we don't stand in the gap for these other, I believe you and me, there is nothing in that other right nation that has any value. They're all bound for hell and for destruction because they've saturated themselves and they've brought judgment on themselves. Forever and a day, for the last 400 or 500, they're taking that community, they're taking communion in an unworthy manner. They've been doing that for hundreds of years and bringing judgment on themselves and not even know it. And now, it comes to fruition, there is absolutely nothing in that Hutterite environment and that Hutterite nation and that Hutterite world that has any Christian value. It's all materialism. And we're looking at it from the outside, looking in, because we had that man come to our house, and he was shocked. He thought he was doing God a service, being the boss, and they called him. But when reality sets in, then that changed your whole outlook. And then he came back and told us that it's nothing but deception. We're just continuing on with the things along the road of life that the Lord has brought to our attention. And here today he wants us to speak about standing in the gap because we... You put your radar on. Go look around all these other We drifted at Hutterite Cowley yesterday. And man, well, it's all just a materialistic environment. Nothing spiritual about it. Yeah, religion. They got a lot of religion. They wear a certain dress code. But when you take the reps off, and you and I, we step back and we looked at it from the eyes of reality, and it's absolutely zilch. There's nothing there. And I come to the conclusion, you know, if we don't pray for those people, if we don't stand in the gap for, they're all bound for hell, whether they know it or not, whether they believe, because like we keep saying, even in the end time, there's only one message. There's no set. There's only one way you can get to heaven. According to what Jesus said, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe in them, and I will send. And here in the church, he said, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. Now, this is, we're just continuing on from what Jesus did at Calvary. The beat goes on, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it just continues on. Back in the days of Paul was that church messenger, and he taught a lot of things that Jesus never even touched on. Then he goes into Iranian, the second church age, because now Satan is on the warpath. He's trying to steal away the revelation of Acts 2:38, water baptism. So Arrhenius and these early apostles, they really had to fight that, combat that diabolical spirit. That was their job, and it keeps on going. And here, and the church of Laodicea, the whole world is encased in deception, and he has managed to be able to deceive that Hutterite nation, that there's absolutely nothing there. No matter how you look at it, you take a microscope of scripture. You got to take it to the microscope of scripture, and you got to realize they don't have nothing. They're dead, and the Lord moved on us and to stand in the gap. And he can't, like he was. How does that read over in Ezekiel?
It says Ezekiel 22 verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord.
Is that a different translation?
I looked for a man from among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. So I have poured my anger on them and destroyed them. With the fire of my fury, I hereby repay them for what they have done, declares the sovereign Lord.
That's just the hour we're living. That's the name. That's that Hutterite nation. If somebody, if he can't find somebody to stand up, get up to the podium and stand in the gap, that whole nation is going out to hell. And that because they're time and time and time again, they've done everything that they possibly could to reject the Lord. I remember 30 years ago, I was in their council. I was in their kangaroo courts. I begged and I pleaded, at least take a look at this thing, at this God sending a prophet, Malachi 4. Oh, you're not going to tell us about no prophet. It just completely closed the door. The Lord has every right to just strike them dead, each one of them, because their leadership is so corrupt that they didn't even have the audacity to at least look at it. They would rather, they told me, you got till sundown to get out of here with your garbage. Well, we just keep on moving on. And now, that thing, that whole order, I think, has come to fruition. And I tell you what, if nobody stands in the gap, they're all just going down to hell, and that they don't have a prayer, because they've been bringing judgment on themselves for the last 500-600 years. And here we are, like I say, it comes to fruition. We're at the end of it all, and now we just have to stand in the gap for. Like here's a few years back, the Lord woke me up about 2:00 in the morning and told me to go. Go visit that guy. I grew up with him, that Nathan. He was over in the care home in Nipawa. So we went up there, and he's in the care home. He had a stroke. He couldn't really talk with him that much, but we could kind of communicate with him, and I'd let him know who I am. Yeah, I could tell he remembered me, you know, because if a guy has a stroke, you can't really communicate. But I communicated enough that I knew that he recognized who I was, and because I grew up with him. Anyway, so we were sitting there, just like talking, and I think I said to you, what are we doing here? The guy, we can't even hardly communicate with him. And then I remember saying, well, the Lord told us to come here, so we'll do the only thing. The guy's completely out of it. He got no, there's nothing spiritual you can talk to him about. He's some completely out of it. And we'd be better off talking to the wall. But see, I said, the Lord sent me here, so we'll do the only thing we can. We'll anoint him with oil and we'll pray for the man. Because he has absolutely zilch. He got nothing that we could even talk to him about, spiritually speaking. I'm talking spiritual now. We were on a mission from the Lord because he then, during the night in Canada, go up and visit that man. And then I know what the Lord wanted me to do. He wanted me to talk about heavenly things with him. So eventually we started up. We went there to visit him a few times. But see what we were doing. We're standing in the gap because he had nothing that he could deliver to the Lord. Nothing is spiritual about the man. He's had a stroke and he's wasted away his life. If we don't stand in the gap for that man, he's going out to all of that 90 miles an hour. So there we did. We prayed for him. I said, Lorraine, the only thing we can do is pray for that guy. We're going to stand in the, so to speak, stand in the gap for him, because mm-hmm. there was nothing there that he can accumulate. He has never sought nothing spiritually. I know, I grew up with the man back in that Hutterite system, and then he left the colony, and he left when he was 16 years old. I think they had to bring him back once or twice because he was too young to leave, so they brought him back, and then when he got 18, he left again, and that's the last they seen of him, and he'd been up in Alberta there. Anyway, see, what I'm trying to say, he has nothing on his own, and that's the same way, the same situation with the Hutterite. There is absolutely nothing there, no matter how you look at it. There's nobody there. Their leadership is corrupt. That Leonard is corrupt. That Arnold from Acadia, they're all just tradition, and the forefathers, and all that stuff that has absolutely no eternal value. They're not in touch with reality. You know what I'm trying to say? If we don't pray for them, if we don't stand in the gap for them, they don't have a prayer. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just come into your presence, Lord. Give you thanks for another day of life and the many things you've done to us, Lord. You've allowed us to see this end time rapidly approaching, Lord. Now you give us a mission, Lord, to go about, be about your business, Lord, to stand in the gap for these Hutterite people, Lord. If we don't stand in the gap, if we don't lift them up to your throne of grace, there's absolutely nothing they can do for themselves because they just don't have it. There's nobody there. The leadership is corrupt. They're just completely 90 miles an hour headed out to destruction and to hell. There's nobody, Lord, there. We've put our radar on and we've tried to look for somebody that we could maybe continue on with your program. It's not our program. It's your program. You sent the prophet, and they're doing everything they can to shut that thing out and to completely send their people out to hell and that, Lord. And we don't lift them up to your throne of grace. There's just absolutely nothing that they can be done. They're just going to go down just like that city that you said in your word. You were looking for somebody that'll pray for them, that'll stand in the gap for them, and you found nobody, and so you had to allow that city to be completely destroyed and to send them out to hell. And Lord, here's the same thing. You've raised us up so that we can do here in this end time. We have a truth to deliver to the people, and we have something that they could hold on to. Somebody will take it to the next phase. But Lord, they're so blind. Their leadership is so corrupt. There's absolutely nothing there. No matter how you look at it, you can take a microscope and try to find something. There's zilch there. There's nothing there, spiritually speaking. Yeah, religion, Lord, they have it, but spiritually speaking, they're completely void of any spiritual understanding. And we keep saying, Lord, over and over again, God sent a prophet. And we just pray, Lord, you'll open up their understanding. Do something for those people, God, Lord. If you don't intervene, they're going out to hell and that, and they're taking all their subjects with them because there's nothing there in their leadership that has any spiritual value. It's all just materialism. It's a nation of pure materialism. We're looking at it from the outside, Lord, and we can see it just as clear as crisp. There is absolutely nothing there. And we're just asking in Jesus' name that you would do something for those people, because if you don't, there's nothing nobody can do for them, Lord. We just pray you'll give them your grace to grab a hold of this here in time truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, because like I say, like we look at it through the radar and through the microscope of Scripture. When you analyze what God has done when he went to Calvary and then he continued on with the Apostle Paul and with his church age messages, because he keeps saying it over and over, this is going to be eternal life. Everybody wants eternal life, but they don't meet the conditions, just like it was back in the days of Ezekiel. Back in the days, God was looking for something that would meet the conditions, somebody that's connected to reality. And he looked and he found nobody that was qualified to stand in the gap for that city, because he said he looked around for somebody. He couldn't find nobody. There's a lot of people back there, but there was nobody that could meet the conditions that did what Hosea said. If you, because they have rejected the truth for their day, God said, I will take you away. You will be no priest before me, and I will forget your children. And here's the same thing. If you're not interconnected to what God is doing in the hour of time you're living in, he'll do exactly what they did with the Israelites back from the days of Hosea. They were not connected. They were not in touch with reality. They rejected what Hosea said. Had to say what God had to say through the vocal cords of Hosea back in his day. And he forgot them. Then the first thing he did, he said, you will be no more priest before me. Yeah, they were still their false priests, but they were no priest before the Lord. And they just they forgot their children. And you can go back and read the history of Israel. When the Assyrians came in and took them away, and they're out there to this very day, 2,000-3,000 years later, they're still out there. And then it's the same thing here. These other, they're not interconnected with the reality of today. Today, the reality of Laodicea is that you got to be interconnected with the truth for your day, with that prophetic ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, and now here we're putting the finishing touches onto it, and all you got to do is interconnect yourself with what Lorraine and I are saying here, and then you will be part of that stream, and you'll be part of that glorious, go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple. That's the only thing that's left here in these closing days of time. And what we're doing, we're putting it out there on a day-to-day basis, because we're about the Lord's business. We're not about doing our own thing here. We're about the Lord's business. And now here in these closing days of time, God has found you and I willing, voluntarily, willing and able to stand in the gap, because he put his radar out and he found you and I, because we're interconnected. It's not, there's a lot of people that would be willing to do it, but they don't have Waller, he tried to bend over backwards. He would have loved to stand it again. But see, he didn't have the picture right. He was not interconnected with those seven stars, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. And like I said the other day, he vehemently opposed that very thing that could God, then if he would have done that, God could have used them to stand in the gap for these people, like it was back in Ezekiel. He found there were a lot of people, but they were not interconnected, and that God could not use them to stand in the gap. You got to meet the conditions that God has required of him, and he couldn't find nobody, and he had to let that whole city, that whole countryside there be destroyed, simply because he could not find it. Now here we're standing in the gap, and if we don't do what we're doing, believe you me, they're just like that Nathan we went to see. If we wouldn't have stopped and talked to him and tried to direct towards heaven, and we would not have prayed for that man, he had no future, because he had not accumulated for himself nothing. And here's the same thing. These Hutterites, they have not accumulated themselves nothing for the last 600 years. Religion, yeah. Roman Catholicism, yeah. All that religious filth, that's all they have accumulated for themselves. Just religion. And they're not in touch with Martin Luther. But Martin Luther, back in the 1500s, he came to just to live that faith. They never accepted that. That wing of Christianity, they accepted the Zwingli line and the Jakobuter line, and they were just agents of Satan to destroy everything that Martin Luther stood for. The same thing has been throughout biblical history. Back in the days of Paul, Paul had his tugs too. You could go back and read history. And there were people right throughout history that were always combating these church age messengers. Like I said, Paul had, Irene has had his people that he fought with trying to undermine Irene. Then Martin had his tugs, and Satan was behind him trying to undermine what Martin was doing. And then Columba throughout the Dark Ages, they're all combating everything that these churches meant to just stood for. And then when Martin Luther came on the scene, the first stage of the reform, that Satan has his tugs back there to counterattack everything that Martin Luther stood for. Martin Luther just to live by faith. So what do they do? What does the Jacob Hutter and all these tugs come along? These agents of Satan, they come and do exactly what they did to the devil, did to the dark, lead them back into that community style living, which is first-class communism, just that simple. And from there, now you see the results of it. Now you see the fruits of it. They're just going to be taking communion today, and they're what they did, that false religion, what they do, they're just keeping piling up, bringing judgment upon themselves, a judgment upon their offspring, and their whole nation is just going to go out to hell and to be God. It's built on Roman Catholicism. It's not built on those church age messengers. Like I keep saying here in Laodicea, we with a great prize we had to pay, and we got interconnected with that church age messenger. That's the only job description we have, is to continue on with the program that's been firmly established through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Because anything outside of that, it'll take you out to hell of that, whether you like it or not. You have no control over it. The only salvation that we have, it started with the Calvary, and then it continues on because the truth is marching on. You and I, we just happen to catch on to the truth here in these closing days of time. But you're dealing with the world of this cave, that's encaved in deception. It says in the last day, the deception will be of such magnitude that will leave deceived the very elect. And all we're doing here, we're holding on to a truth. We're delivering that gospel truth to the people that God did send a prophet. Behold, I'll send Elijah the prophet. And we're just, like I keep saying, we're just building on what has been already firmly established.
Mm-hmm. And like when you look at the Hutterites and what they believe and everything, a lot of it is based on paganism,
mm-hmm.
and idolatry, because it's not based on scripture, and then it becomes idolatry. Materialism, anything you can see what it's based on. It's not built on the foundation of the early church. And you can look at the same way when Moses led the people out of Egypt, and they decided there, he went up to the mountain for 40 days, and then they decided they're going to build themselves gods, that, and they said, oh, those are the gods that have led us. And they build themselves a golden calf. And see, that's the same way with these people. They're building themselves a golden calf to worship. It's not mm-hmm. really worshiping the true and living God. It's worshiping these false gods. And Moses and God was so angry with the children of Israel, because that's why God led them out, is for them to follow his ways, mm-hmm. not those false gods that they adopted throughout time, and like wanting to build a golden calf. And God was so mad, he was going to destroy them all. And then Moses stood in the gap for them, and he went and prayed. He said, you have committed a very serious sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement on behalf of your sins. And a lot of it is very similar to what the Hutterites have done. You know, they have really nothing spiritual for the day and hour we're living in. They're totally void of that. And like you were saying, then God has somebody that's qualified to stand in the gap for them, because they don't have anything. And God brought us out from, like, just like I was thinking yesterday, like you can, a lot of an examples of Abraham, how God called him out from among the pagan worshiping. And then God called us out from amongst the pagan worshiping into the truth for our day. And that's why God is not going to use just anybody to stand in the gap. He has to be a chosen vessel called out from all those pagans in order to be able to stand in the gap, just like Moses. He was able to stand in the gap for those children of Israel. And God has called us out. I remember one day I was looking out my window, and it was like the Lord was telling me, just like Abraham was called out from the land of the Chaldeans, from those idol worshiping, so will I call you out from among these people here, from your own people, because it's all steeped in idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
And He called us out into the righteousness for our day. And we follow that righteousness, and that's why we can qualify to stand in the gap for these people. Because when God looks down and he looks over the people, and there's nobody that he can find that lines up with his word, we line up with his word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what qualifies you to stand in that gap for those people that are steeped in idolatry.
One of the first things the Lord dealt with me was putting on his jersey, because he saw the end result. He saw here and then that he's going to need somebody that's qualified, that meets the criteria. And then he took me out to Vancouver, and out there I got baptized in Jesus' name. See, I had to fit the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Before God could use Moses to take the children of Israel, he stuck them right dead right at that border. He's going to kill them because there was some scripture laying there. He had not circumcised his boys.
Right.
And his wife had to go out and circumcise them before God would allow them to cross that border right there going into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. It's the same thing here. We got types and shadows. Before God could use us to stand in the gap, he had to first take me out to Vancouver, and I had to get baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from there I had to accept the fact that God sent their prophet. And I went back to these Hutterites to tell them I was in their kangaroo courts. And it's always a butcher shop. That's all it is. They're kangaroo court. They've already determined what they're going to do to you. But I had an opportunity to tell them God sent the prophet. And anything outside of that, it's just Roman Catholicism. I said, that baptism that you is of the devil. And they didn't like what I said, but I told them the truth. And because we did, we just kept on moving on, because the truth is marching on. You and I haven't stopped. We just continued on with the beat. The beat keeps going on. The truth is marching on. And then he brought us to the ministry of Brother Raymond M. Jackson. From there, he preached. And then, like I keep saying it over and over again, we were all being tested. And he found you and I qualified to continue on with the program. And here today, we're standing in the gap, because right today, a few hours from now, they'll all across the time zone, and these Hutterite colonies, they'll all be taking communion, and they'll be all be doing the same thing all over again, year after year, bringing judgment on themselves. Because we had a conversation here the other day, because what it says back in what Paul said, if you take unworthily communion, if you're not part of the body of Christ, if that nucleus of people, then you are bringing judgment on yourself, because not discerning the Lord's body. And when you do that, and that's what they've been doing in the last 500 years, judgment upon judgment upon judgment. And now you see the proof is in the foot. Now it's all coming to fruition, and all it is a materialistic, worldly society. It's all it's built on materialism. No matter how you look at it, there's not one person in these colonies that you and I can go there and have fellowship around the fact that God sent the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, we don't stand in the gap. There's absolutely no hope. Just like that guy we went to see in that care home, there was absolutely nothing there. And after we went and visited him a few times, every time he saw you, he started He knew there was something there. He couldn't put his finger on it, and he didn't know that we're standing in the gap for him. And you give him a little bit of hope, and probably, I don't think the Lord just did it just for the sake of doing it, because he woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning and reminded me to go and look him up. And that's what we did. First chance we got, we found out where he was at, and then we moved on with the program. Finally there, we stood right beside his bed, and I realized, man, what are we doing here? The guy is just as good as dead, barely communicate with him. And I said, well, I know the Lord sent him here, so we do the only thing we can. Like I said, we nailed him with oil, you prayed for it, and something happened there. I know it did. I could feel it. And we stood in the gap for that poor guy, because he didn't have nothing for him. Mm-hmm. His parents had, they did.
Yeah,
the schmear in that color.
Yeah, some people just don't have a chance, especially with their upbringing.
Yeah.
Some children, they don't have a very good upbringing, and he was one of them, and then they have nothing to fall back on, these children, and when they grow older, it just gets worse and worse, and they just get out of control, and like you said, and God had us stand in the gap for him. And then, because, you know, God is very merciful. He loves people, but there's conditions that people have to meet, and mm-hmm. requirements. Like the children of Israel, because they sinned against him, he couldn't just overlook that. But Moses stood in the gap for them, and then he could look at it that way, just like Jesus stood in the gap for us at Calvary. You know, that was the Redeemer of redeeming, from standing in the gaps, is the Lord Jesus Christ there at Calvary. That's why all these religions out there is a substitute for what Jesus did at Calvary. Jesus did it all. He finished. He said it is finished. He finished what the mankind, that sin that was on mankind, and he completed it.
It's very simple for you and I to understand and to see, like I say the other day, let me know, standing in the gap. Well, there's a lot attached to standing in the gap. First of all, he found nobody back in the days of Ezekiel. He found nobody that would stand in that one, meet the conditions to stand in the gap. And Ezekiel went to report it, and he said, what the Spirit of the living God was telling Ezekiel, if I would have found somebody to stand in the gap for that city, I would not have allowed that city to be destroyed. No matter how wicked these people live, no matter all these things, just the same today with these other, God knows how wicked they are, and there's nothing but there's nothing there except mm-hmm. material. They're worshiping their idols, worshiping their material, and their homes, and their businesses, and all that's all just minus mm-hmm. every there. No spiritual, no Christianity there whatsoever. No matter how you look at it, we sometimes drive through that. All it is a world of materialism, and that materialism has absolutely no promise. And that new world that's coming is just up the road here. And he wanted you and I to stand in the gap, because we have met the condition to do that very, to stand in the gap. No matter if they butcher us, if they mm-hmm. put us in the house, that's all, that doesn't matter. That's mm-hmm. all just part of the program. So that when the day comes, that God can use you to stand in the gap for those people, because you have paid the price. He's found you and I qualified to that very thing, because we've accepted the prophet for the day. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet, and then he told us to get baptized in Jesus' name, and he's taken us back to that early church, the program that the early church, and we've done that wholeheartedly, and we made ourselves available to the Lord on a day-to-day basis. We've given him all our resources, all our makeup, our whole thing is here, and it's in time to send out the warning and to let people know where we are at time. You and I, we're the only two people that knows the hour we're living in. We can put it right down to the day. You can go do it, you calculate it yourself. October the 15th, 2021. That was the end of the Grace Age, and once the end of the Grace Age, there's silence in heaven. Jesus goes off to see the mercy, and he becomes the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that happened October the 15th, 2021, and now we're almost at the end of the seven-year period that's allotted to the Jews, and that when that seven-year period, that angel comes down, and he puts Satan in a chain, and he takes him right down into hell. And then there's 30 days where the day of the Lord, where the planet will run to and fro like a drunken man. And then there's the separating of the goats and the sheep. And once that is done, then the millennium sets in. And just that simple, everything is counted. And you and I, we just happen by the grace of God, because see, we have met the condition that we can now put it out there exactly the via the scriptures. And that's been our mission, and we do it gladly. We have no other job description. Sometimes the Lord will tell us to go see visit somebody. Like Saturday, we went down to see that guy there that's also steeped in religion. He has absolutely nothing. And we run into him from time to time. So we had to go to the farmer's market there in Winnipeg. So we thought we'll take him a loaf of bread, homemade bread, and I'll give him a Tim Hortons coffee. So we went down there to see him, and yeah, it was okay for a while. And then he tried to put it, he's a charismatic, completely steeped and charismatic. He's just like the Hutterites. He's just like that guy we went up to see in a care home. He's just steeped in that charismatic spirit. Blind as a bat, ignorant as a duck. And so we talked to him for a while, and here he's trying to tell us his garb, his charismatic garb. He listed his preacher. So anyway, he put it on for a while, and I let him know, we're not interested in your religion and your charismatic stuff, because it had not delivered nothing for you yet. It has robbed you of everything. Here you are, locked away out here in this house. You don't even have a driver's license, and that's what that religion that you're in has produced for you. It cannot produce nothing, because it never was nothing. It's never going to be nothing. And here he's trying to sell us his stuff. I said, we're not on the same page with you spiritually. We're free. We decided today we're going to go to Norbert to the farmer's market. You got some stuff there to buy, and then we decided we're gonna on the way down there we're gonna stop and buy you Tim Horton coffee, and we'll bring you a loaf of bread, and we're free to do that because we left this morning. We're free to jump in the car and do this very thing. And now here we are, we give you a coffee, we give you a loaf of bread, and now we're free to go back home again. But you're locked up here. You've been sitting here. I said, how long have you been locked up here in your place here? He's out in the country. He doesn't even have a driver's license. He doesn't even have a vehicle. He's locked up there, and he's hearing in the heart what the good religion he has. He said, your religion has delivered nothing for you. And you're not free. Oh, I'm free. I said, no, you're not free. Lorraine and I, we're free. We have electric cars standing out in your driveway. And once we're done with you, we'll go out in an electric car. And we're free to go back home again. We were free to bring you a coffee. See, that's freedom. We have our freedom in the Lord because we have the right faith material. We have the proper religion that delivers us. And we couldn't convince them. And that's the same way with these other. They're just as blind as a bat, ignorant as a duck. There is absolutely nothing. All that's there is tradition and religion. And it doesn't do nothing for your soul and for your spirit. And they're taking all their people out to hell and death, and they don't even know it. And if you and I, we don't stand in the gap, there is no hope for them, no matter how you look at it. Because I've been all over. I've been through that old smear, and I know for a fact God has called us out to deliver here in this end time a truth for them, and then whosoever will, then they come and drink out of the waters of life freely. That's just as your truth that you and I are living on a day-to-day basis. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and we just want to give you thanks for another day of life, for everything you do for us, Lord, from where you brought us from, Lord, and we just want to intercede on the behalf of that Hutterite nation, Lord, that you would somehow make a way for them, Lord. And you called us out, Lord, from all those pagan worshiping denominations, Lord, and you brought us to the righteousness for our day and hour, Lord, so that we line up with your word, Lord. So we come before you, Lord, in the in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we want to intercede for them, Lord, that you'll make a way for them to stand in the gap for those people. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.